Sister Penny asked me if I'd leave my fan off while she sung. She said it's distracting. And that's the very reason I have to turn it on, because the heat's distracting whenever you're preaching. So let's go to the book of 2 John. We finished up 1 John last Sunday morning, and then last Sunday evening we looked at the book of 2 John and just looked at some introductory things. Basically what we did was we looked at the facts of the book, who wrote it, where they wrote it from, who they wrote it to, the theme, and we looked at the first few verses, verses 1 through 3. And so this morning we come to verse 4, 2 John, verse 4. It's just like God's Word to take such a small little portion of Scripture and pack so much into it. And so today we're going to spend the entire day, morning and evening, in one verse, in verse 4. And the reason that we're going to do that is because when you read this verse, there are a couple of truths that are in this verse. And so what I want to do is I want to spend this morning looking at one of those truths, and then this evening looking at the second truth. Okay? So 2 John, verse 4. Now, John is writing to a saved lady. This lady is saved. Her kids are saved, because it talks about her household. And he's addressing, later on in the book, he's going to address how we deal with false teachers and false doctrines, which he addressed back in 1 John. He's bringing it up again in this letter here. And he has something to say here about her children. And he says in verse 4, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Then he says, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So there are two things here, and one is, I'm going to kind of flip them. The one is, we have a commandment from the Father to walk in truth. And the second truth that we see here is, it's a good thing for us to raise our children to obey that commandment. So this morning what I want to look at is the truth of we are to walk in God's truth, in truth, because He is truth. And then this evening I want to look at specifically raising our children to do the same. Now if you're here this morning and you don't have any children, you probably at some point in your life have had, do have right now, or will have some kind of contact or interaction with children. It might be through your work, it might be nieces, it might be nephews, it might be cousins, your friends have kids. Most of us find that at some point in our life we have some kind of contact with children or young people. And when we do, we want to make sure, just like with everybody else, that we are a proper witness to them, just like anybody else, okay? So, tonight's sermon is not reserved only for parents. It's for everybody. Bible truth is for everybody, okay? But this morning, let's look at this truth. We are to walk in truth. He says, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So first of all, walking in truth. In John 18:38, Pilate asked Jesus the question, what is truth? And we live in a time when man wants to invent his own truth. It's been that way since the garden. Adam and Eve were given the truth of God. He told them what to do. He told them what not to do. And when the serpent came along and said, yea, hath God said, Eve decided that she would believe her own truth. She was going to believe what the serpent said as truth, and thereby, in believing it, she took that to be truth, made that her own truth. He said it, it wasn't right, she believed it, thereby making it the truth that at that point she was walking in. She ceased to walk in God's truth the moment that she believed the lies of the serpent, and at that point she began to walk in falsehood. she began to walk in a lie, darkness, the moment that she disobeyed God. And then Adam followed suit. It's always been the case that man invents his own truth. You know, I don't know about you, but I've heard just about all I want to hear about fake news. I don't watch the news. I will sometimes read a news article, and I don't do that a whole lot, because I'd rather concentrate on leading the lost to Christ and raising my family and being the pastor He's called me to be, being the man He's... Because whatever happens around this world, the end is going to be the same. Saved people are going to heaven and lost people are going to hell when the whole thing's over with. Is that right? Is that Bible? I care about the country we live in. I pray for the country that we live in. I pray for the leaders. I vote. Do all those things. There's a line in the sand that you have to draw and say, that's as far as it goes. And in case you don't know, I don't mean to break your hearts this morning, but this thing isn't getting fixed. It's not getting fixed. It is too far gone. Let's say it got fixed, though. Let's say that we woke up tomorrow and no more babies were being slaughtered, and the divorce rate plummeted and the marriage rate skyrocketed. Let's say everybody had a job, which technically doesn't work in the kind of economy that we have, but anyhow, let's say everybody had a job, all right? And factories are producing at full force, and we're making everything right here in our country. And boy, it's the American dream, isn't it? Whatever that is. Let's say we woke up tomorrow and all of these woes, all of these problems were just fixed. Let's say we woke up in the morning and we found that God had removed every, not just the ones you didn't vote for, but every single politician and replaced them with honest men who upheld the Constitution of the United States. And we were just living the American dream. There's a couple of problems with that. One, the American dream is not the biblical dream. It's not biblical truth. Two, if that were to happen, Christ is still going to come back and burn this thing to the ground. No matter whatever shape it's in, one day He's burning it all up. This nation is in poverty. This nation is riding high. This nation is barely getting by. This nation is a superpower, whatever you want to call it. They're all going to be leveled when Christ Jesus comes back and sets up His millennial kingdom. Then the whole thing's getting torched and remade. So why try to bail out the Titanic with a thimble? Why not live for Christ? I know I went off track just a little bit, but maybe that needed to be said this morning. But we hear a lot here lately, there's this term, and they say fake news. Well, that's fake news, that's fake news. All right, so what do you believe? This person swears that this is truth, and they got it from this guy, and this guy over here, because he doesn't like what you're saying, he just says, that's fake news. And some people decide, I'm going to believe whatever. I was talking to somebody about this here recently. I'm going to believe whatever comes across Twitter or Facebook or Bing News or whatever it is without even investigating it. I mean, come on. Have you not heard people say, oh, did you hear? Trump's taking away all the guns and Bibles tomorrow. And he's going to quit, and Hillary's going to make her president. I mean, people say stuff like that all the time. Where'd you hear that? Oh, man, it's all over Twitter. It's all over Twitter. Didn't you hear? Didn't you hear if Hillary gets in, she's shutting all the churches down? You hear stuff like that, don't you? You hear people walk around and say, oh, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? And didn't take 5 seconds to see if it was true or just, boy, if they said it here, then it must be true. Church, how about, did you read? Did you read? Did you read? Did you read what God, who cannot lie, said? Because man is so good at trying to invent his own facts, his own truth. He wants what he thinks is right for him. And he doesn't care how it affects you. This has always been the case. Man invents his own truth. He believes whatever he wants to believe. God's given us the choice and the freedom to do that. But just because that's the case, just because there are so many lies out there, just because there are so many things presented as truth that we could believe and we could buy into, that does not erase the fact that real truth exists. There are people who take this approach and they say, well, you know, you've got all those different churches, all these people that think that they're right. And I've had someone say to me, you know, everybody thinks their way is right, so nobody really knows. How ludicrous is that? Just because you have a bunch of people that are wrong and think that they're right doesn't mean that truth does not exist. What if truth exists and nobody believes it? It's kind of like, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? You don't have to have a human ear present for sound to be present. The human ear is a receptor of sound. It's not a creator of sound. Well, if a tree falls in the woods, anybody hear it? How do you know you weren't there? Because I know how sound works. And I know how ears work. If you're not in the room and the TV's on, is it really on? What was when I left? It was when I came back. Tricky little devil shuts off every time that I leave because it knows there's no eyeballs there to watch it. Hey, it doesn't matter if the forest is empty. Yeah, the tree still fell. It still made a noise. It doesn't matter if the rest of the world rejects biblical truth. It's still true. It hasn't gone away. Well, everybody thinks they're right. Well, yeah, everybody always thought they were right. All the ways of a man are right in his own eyes is what the Bible says. Everybody thinks they're right. That doesn't mean that truth doesn't exist. That doesn't mean that there isn't right somewhere. It seems like every day we see this manifesting itself more and more and more. I'll make up my own truth. People say this. I was talking just this week to Brother Dwayne about this. People say, who are you to tell me that that's true? Who are you to tell me that's right or that's wrong? Now, church, when somebody asks you that question, when they say, who are you, don't be crippled by that question. Don't stop and think, you know what? I was a sinner too. I really don't have a right to tell them. You have every right to tell them, and here's why. The next time someone says to you or asks you the question, who are you to tell me? Let me tell you what my response is. I'm nobody. That's why I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what God said. I have no right to tell you. But I didn't write this. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what my opinion is or my feelings are. Me tell you? Yeah. Nobody. But I'm a messenger bringing you the truth of God's word. I'm just telling you what he said. Okay, here it is. You know that old saying, don't shoot the messenger? But they do. They act like we wrote this. We're just saying, hey, thus saith the Lord. You think you're God? No, absolutely not. I'm just telling you what he said. You think you're holier than that? No, I'm just telling you, God is holier than you are. And he's holier than I am. I'm just telling you what he said. If he was, well, who are you to tell me? Just a messenger. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Truth is, I'm no one. The only authority that I have to speak on is the authority of the unchanging Word of God. Written by Almighty Perfect Creator God. You see, if He made everything, guess who gets to make the rules? If He made everything, if He created everything, doesn't He get to say what goes and what doesn't? Who is God to tell me? The one who put breath in your lungs, that's who He is to tell you. The one whose sunshine you're soaking up and whose water you're drinking and whose food you're eating and whose earth you're living on, that's who He is. Yes, He absolutely gets to tell you. It baffles me. College students voluntarily choose a college that they want to attend, and then mom and dad or the state or whoever pays for it, state meaning you and I, pay for it for them to go to college, and then they get in there and demand that the college change all of its rules and all of its policies to make them happy. No, 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 no. You don't get to make the rules. Why don't the deans and the presidents, more of them, stand up and say, no, that's not how it works. You chose to come here. We make the rules. You follow them. If not, go somewhere else. Explain to me people who claim to be Christians, profess to be Christians, and want to argue with God. No, no, you don't get to change this. You don't get to change this. He gets to make the rules. And He won't force you to follow them, but you don't get to change them. You don't have to go here. You don't have to go to this college. You don't have to go to this school. You don't have to take this job. Well, they owe me this. They don't owe you a thing. They don't even owe you that job. They decided to hire you, and if you don't like it, go get a job someplace else. But people want to change the Word of God. They want to create their own truth. They want to define God for themselves. No, you don't get to do that. Either believe it or you don't. Now, you get to do that. You get to believe it or reject it, but you don't get to change it. And you can try to change it all that you want, but you're only changing it in your own mind because the Word still stands. God's Word still stands. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, this is John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what did Jesus say? We're told in 2 John, we have a commandment to walk in truth. If I'm going to walk in truth, I'm going to have to know what it is. Pilate says to Jesus, what is truth? Jesus had already told his disciples he was truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, what is truth? Jesus is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. How do I walk in Jesus? Well, let's go a little bit further. Since Jesus is truth, everything he says and does is truth. Since Jesus is truth, everything he says and does is truth. Now, I heard a preacher say this one time. It stuck with me. I've said it to you before. I'm going to say it again. God does not do what is right. It is right because God does it. You see, there's not truth or a list of things that are truth, and then God knows what those things are, and so He does it. No, He is truth. He made the list. He is the standard. God does not have a list that he abides by that is right. He is right, and he make the list. So God doesn't do... See, you and I, we try to do what is right. God doesn't do what is right. Something is right because God does it or because God says it. He is the standard himself. He is truth. He's the way, the truth, the life. And he said that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think there's many ways to heaven. You're wrong. Jesus says you're wrong. I think that, you know, all churches are pretty much the same. You're wrong. Jesus says you're wrong. Yeah, I know they believe a little bit different. If they don't believe what this says and only what this says and everything that this says, Jesus says you're wrong. I don't like that. I know. When we disagree with God, we don't like what God says. If we agree with God, statements like that don't bother us, do they? We can amen a statement like that because we say, absolutely. Yeah, but you know, I believe and I think all these people, it doesn't matter. What God says is truth. That's what we're interested in. You know why we're interested in that? Because he's God. Because he's perfect. Because he doesn't change. You don't want to know what I think or I feel. I don't want to know what you think or you feel because we're not perfect. We're not God. We change. We have finite, limited knowledge. So who should I listen to? Should I listen to myself or should I listen to God? Who knows more? Okay. Is there anyone in here that knows the social security number of every person sitting just in this room? And if any of y'all raise your hand, just hope the authorities don't hear this recording. You know what? I know some of you are going to say, that's crazy, but it's the truth. I don't know my wife or my children's numbers. My mom knew all of us boys' numbers. I memorized my own. I keep everyone's cards. I'm the one that keeps everyone's cards. So I have access to it. I couldn't tell you what my kids... I know some of you think that's crazy. I can't. When we need them, I have to go get those cards and write them down. I've got four kids. And one wife. And then my own. And it's a lot of numbers. And I'm not very smart. Okay? That's one fact. That's one number for each person in here. Now think about that. That is one fact that relates to each person in here. Then you start to think about all of the other details about each individual person in here that you have no idea. That's just in this building. There's only about 50 of us here or around. That's just in this building. We haven't even left the doors. We haven't even walked out the doors yet. That's just in here. Can everybody in here tell me when my birthday was? Some of you can. Some of you know it was sometime this summer. Because I remember him talking about it. I can't tell you when yours are. Amy can. She has them all written down. But she didn't even have them memorized. You can't tell me my, let's just take me, you cannot tell me my social security number. Most of you don't know when my birthday is. That's fine. You don't need that knowledge. You need this knowledge. You don't know what I ate for breakfast this morning, if I ate breakfast this morning, what supper was last night. You don't know what I'm having for lunch today. Do you know how many breaths I have taken since 8 o'clock this morning? Pastor, what's all this about? I'm trying to prove to you how stupid we are. Well, that's not stupidity, that's ignorance. I'm trying to show you how ignorant we are. Do you realize how much we don't know? Look at how much, and then how much we just don't know. So I wonder if I should trust in my own thoughts and my own truth, or if I should trust in God's truth. I think we realize, when you take all the knowledge that there is, you and I, we don't even know half of it. We don't know 1% of all the knowledge that there is to know. I wonder who I'll trust in. Should I define my own version of truth? You don't have a pretty good basis to build it on. Or should I trust Creator, perfect, almighty God? Now we're on the right track. To walk in truth. If Jesus is truth, then to walk in truth is very simply to walk in agreement with and obedience to God's Word. You know, we talked about in Sunday school about how there are things in the Bible that are hard to understand, take some study, take some work to figure them out. But then there are a lot of things that man just makes too hard. And this idea, this truth of walking in truth is not difficult to understand what it means. Walk in truth. What's that mean? Jesus is truth. That means walk according to and in obedience to everything Jesus says and does. Don't ever contradict Him and you'll be in the truth. When you disobey Him, when you contradict Him, when you get outside of that, you're not walking in truth anymore. You're walking in darkness. So to walk in truth is to walk in agreement with and obedience to God's Word. If His Word says it's wrong and you disagree, you're wrong and you're not walking in truth. If His Word says it's right and you agree, you're walking in truth. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty plain. Then why do so many people have such a problem with it? It's just plain old-fashioned disobedience is what it is. Because it's not difficult to understand what that means, to walk in truth. Turn with me to John chapter 3, the book of John, not 1 John or 2 John. John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation. Here's the problem right here. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know what that's saying? You do what's right, you live according to God's truth, and you won't have any problem being examined under the light of His Word. You won't have any problem. Why do people hide things? They don't want somebody to know that they've got it. They don't want somebody to know. You know what money laundering is? I don't say that like you would just naturally know because you're all criminals or anything. I didn't mean it like that. But I think we all understand what money laundering is. If a bank is robbed, they normally don't go out and just spend that money because it can be traced. They'll take it to like a casino or something like that, or they'll put it in different places so that they cover their trails. Okay, it's dirty money, so they do something to kind of cover their trails so that they're trying to hide the fact that they've stolen this. If a child has something that they're not supposed to have, they'll try to hide it. I remember when I was in school, and there was a kid who left the room and came back, and it was obvious since he walked in the room that he went to the bathroom and smoked a cigarette. Because people are dumb and do stuff like that and think nobody can tell. Teacher calls the principal down. Principal comes over and says, "Let me see the inside of your backpack." This kid says, "If you got a search warrant." He had cigarette butts in his backpack. You know why the kid didn't say, "Sure, here you go. If he had nothing to hide, he'd have said, "Go ahead." Why didn't he want him looking in his pack? Because he had something to hide, didn't he? If you walk in truth, look at what Jesus said. If you walk in truth, look at verse 21. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." If you're doing right, then you'll subject yourself to words, to God's word, and say, I don't have anything to hide. My hands are clean. But if you've not been walking in truth, then you stay away from the Bible. You stay away from church. That's why a lot of times when people fall out of church, there's some kind of sin in their life. Sometimes it's laziness, and sometimes they've gotten mixed up in something or whatever it is. But a lot of times, "Why aren't you coming down here? I don't like the way I feel when I come down there." It's because you feel guilty. You feel convicted. God's working on you. You're not walking in truth. Don't want to come to the light because don't want anybody to see the dirt. If we walk in truth, according to this commandment that John says that God has given us, if we'll walk in truth, which is what Jesus says and what Jesus does in accordance to His Word, we won't have a problem with having our lives examined by God's Word. If you mark in your Bible, if you mark verses, you mark whatever you want, but John 17, 17 is a good one to have marked in your Bible. John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." What's truth? How do I walk in truth? How do I know what to do? God's word. Why do we come to church? Learn this better so I can obey it better, walk in it better, be a servant of His, a disciple of His, one that pleases Him. Can't do that if I don't know Him and know what He says to do. How do you please somebody? Well, you do something they ask you to do or tell you to do. I want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. I'm going to have to be in His Word. I'm going to have to learn it. At home, when I'm reading on my own, I come to church to get that as well. Okay, but wait. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." But I thought Jesus was truth. "Thy word is truth." But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So what He says and does is God's Word, and that's truth, and that's what we obey. If we go back there to... We'll go to 1 John this time. Go back to where we were there in 2 John and go back a few pages there to 1 John and read something that we studied way back when we first started this book 5 years ago. 1 John. Just wait until I preach through like Genesis or something. John and Tyler's grandkids will be here for it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie." Now what does it say? "And do not the truth." All of this morning is about we're told to walk in truth. And if we're walking in darkness and we claim that we're walking in truth, we're lying. So when someone says, oh, I'm a Christian, we go to the Word and say, you realize you've got stuff in your life that God says we're not supposed to be doing. No, that's not what that verse means. Look, I got it worked out with God. There was a song out, I think, in the 70s, a country song called Me and Jesus. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus don't need nobody to tell us what it's all about. And the same guy had a song called I Like Beer. But me and Jesus got it worked out. Had a song called Old Dogs, Children, and Watermelon Wine. He was always singing about booze and getting thrown in jail and all this garbage. Me and Jesus, we got it all. No. Look, right here. If you say you have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You're lying. You're living in disobedience to this Word. You do not have fellowship with Him, because if you have fellowship with Him, you'll walk in truth. You call me a liar? I'm telling you, God called you a liar. We say, I've got fellowship with Him. I'm living like the devil, but I've got fellowship with God. God says, you're a liar. You're lying. You don't have fellowship with me. That's what His Word says. We lie and do not the truth. Let's look at just a couple more verses and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16. Sometimes it's... There's so much out there that some things are plain and easy to see. Some things are plain and very easy to see and understand. Hey, that's wrong. And then sometimes, good Bible-believing Christians that want to please God come up against something and say, I'm not sure where this falls. And so we got to do a little digging. We got to do a little, hey, let me tell you what. I'm going to give you a couple rules of thumb this morning. The first one is this. You're better off to err on the side of caution. You're better off to say, you know what, if I got to question it this much, if I'm just not sure, probably not a good idea. Probably not a good idea. And I'd rather not lean on my Christian liberty and go ahead and do it. I'd rather be safe. Or at least until I search the Scriptures and find out what the Scripture says. I'll wait until I get a better understanding before I make a decision here. I'm going to give you another rule of thumb here in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says this. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So that means there's a way that you're supposed to walk. As wise people, not as fools. See then that you watch your walk. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Every day you have one less day and you don't know how many are left. And if you've wasted all this time in the things of the world, don't you think that should be enough? Let's not waste any more time in it. So there's a path that we are to follow. According to Ephesians chapter 5, there's a path we're to follow. There's a path that we are supposed to shun. Let me give you the good rule of thumb based on Scripture. You want to know which path to follow? You want to know which path to shun? Shun the crowded one. Shun the popular one. Go to Matthew chapter 7. That's not pastor's advice. That's Scripture. You know where we're going. Let's go there anyhow. Matthew 7. And verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Here's your rule of thumb. Here's this decision. I have two paths. Which one do I choose? Which one do I shun? Shun the one with the most people on it. Shun the one with the most people on it. Take the one that hardly has anybody on it. Because when it comes to God's truth, majority does not rule. God rules. There's no vote. And the majority of people are not going to follow truth. That's what this scripture says in Matthew chapter 7. You know how I look at things in this world? If it's popular, it's probably not of God. If it's popular among the world and the majority of churches, knowing the state of the world and the majority of churches, good chance it's not of God. Let me give you an example from a few years ago. There was a song that came out. It was what they call a contemporary Christian song. Some of you might have heard it. You might know about it. If not, you're not missing anything. You don't need to go home and look it up. It'd just be a waste of 3 minutes of your life. But there was this song that came out by this group that called themselves Christian. And the song was, I Can Only Imagine. Some of you probably heard it. I Can Only Imagine. You know there's a problem just in the title. Because the Bible, when it talks about imaginations, doesn't talk about it in a positive way. We always talk about teaching kids to use their imagination. And be careful with that. Teaching them how to play and pretend everything is one thing. Be careful about imagination. The Bible doesn't have a whole lot good to say about imagining things. Okay? This song was about imagining what heaven was going to be like. This song was being played on soft rock and adult contemporary radio stations. Not Christian stations. It was being played on Christian stations, but it was also being played on worldly stations. The same stations that played songs about booze and fornication and adultery and all this stuff and everything worldly were playing this song. And people, Christians, some Christians were saying, oh, it's so wonderful. Look at how they're playing it even on the rock stations. Is that not a clue? Have you ever heard them play Victory in Jesus? Have you ever heard them play Old Rugged Cross? Have you ever heard them play There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood? Sinners lose all their guilty. You know what this song never mentions? From what I remember, it's been a long time since I've heard it. From what I remember, it never says the name of Jesus Christ. I don't remember that song. I guess we could look it up if we wanted to, but I don't think it even mentions Jesus' name. What I do know for sure is it never mentions sin. It's just all about heaven. Why would they want to hear a song about heaven? Because everybody thinks everybody goes there. So we don't have any problem with heaven. Just don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about sins. Don't talk about His blood. Don't talk about forgiveness. It was so popular. Now I saw the other day, they've made some kind of documentary all about the popularity of that song, like the story behind the song. If the road is crowded, if it's popular with the world, it's not biblical. And what I just told you is biblical. We read it. We read it. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. That's because it's not God's wagon. In John 7:7, Jesus said, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." So if something's popular among the world and the world hates our Savior, why would we go along with what's popular of the world? In John 15:18, He said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." So we are given a commandment to walk in truth. What is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. He is the Word of God is truth. To walk in truth means to walk in agreement with and in obedience to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Because Jesus said that's what we live by, not by bread alone, but by the very Word of God. Let's pray, and as we pray, the men will come and we'll approach the Lord's table. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word this morning, and we have read much about and spent time thinking about that truth, that You are truth and what You say is truth. And I pray that You would convict us this morning. Show us areas of our lives where we are not listening to Your truth, where we are listening to the world's lies, where we're going along with the popular things of the world, where we are not lining everything up with Scripture. Convict us of that. Help us to repent of that. Get it right in our lives so that we can live in obedience to what Your Word says and be better disciples for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you take your hymnal, 326. It's awful hard to see what the world's doing if your eyes are upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's just sing the first verse and chorus of this before we approach the Lord's table.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. Abundant and free. Turn your eyes. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. What a beautiful song. I like it when Sister Phyllis lets God pick out the songs. It always works out. It just flows so well, doesn't it? I know that she prays about these songs and doesn't take it lightly. And so many times a sermon will be preached and then the music is just a perfect fit. And we've never consulted on one another with one another about this because we leave it all in God's hands. I'm going to ask the men to come at this time. And I just want to remind everyone, as we always do, that when we approach the Lord's table, this is for believers who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that we ought to examine ourselves, and we ought to think about what we're doing here. There's no saving power, no keeping power in the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's table. They are symbols to remind us, something tangible, just to remind us of what our Savior did for us. And so we ought to be reverent whenever we approach this part of our service. Brother Dwayne.
Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your sending Your Son and His willingness to come and die for our sins.
Yes.
Lord, the price that was paid, the ultimate price, that all the sins of the world were taken upon Him.
Mm-hmm.
And he willingly and freely did it. That all we have to do is accept Him.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord, help us to never forget this and to be good witnesses and pass this truth along.
We
ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, and it speaks of this time when Christ was at the table with his disciples, and it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it, that's in reference to the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me."
Dear Heavenly Father, we again want to just thank you for this time when we can remember our Lord Jesus and for what he did for us. Thank you, dear Lord, for that perfect love that you'd have for us to send your only begotten Son to go to the cross to die on our behalf and Lord, to shed his perfect blood.
Yes.
That without, Lord, there is no remission and no forgiveness of sins. So thank you so much for that. Help us to be ever mindful each and every day of the tremendous cost that was paid. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Your Heavenly Father, God, once again we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, your sending of him, his willingness to go to the cross. And just as already has been mentioned in the prayers, Lord, had it not been for the shedding of his blood and the fact that he came up out of the grave, we'd still be lost. Help us to be ever mindful of that and not to get used to that fact. Lord, let it change our lives and everything that we do, and help us to live our lives accordingly. Thank you for speaking to us through your word today. Bring us back again this evening to speak to us again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing the last verse and the chorus one more time of "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," and at the completion of the chorus, you are dismissed.